What Chiefs running back is the correct start this week? Can any Steelers receiver not named Antonio Brown be trusted in Week 4 lineups? And what surprising Jets wideout might make the best start against Seattle? Plus, this week, Leo Bell, owner of the third-place team in the FFPC main event, drops by to talk Jordan Howard, Lions receivers, and his chances at taking down a $250,000 grand prize. We've got a great show for you. Dave Gerzak is here. I'm Eric Balkman. Stick around. Your high-stakes fantasy football hour starts now.
Broadcast live and heard around the world, you are now listening to the most entertaining hour of radio on the planet. It's the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com with your hosts Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak. The High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour is your home for football analysis from the best fantasy players in the world. And now, because no one else was available, here are Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak.
We run a brand with a structure with the number one commitment. It's all a joke between mom and Drax's and Carver's bidding.
Thanks a lot, Rob. Greetings and salutations, all you Balkaholics and Gerzak and addicts. Welcome to the latest episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com. I'm your slightly above average host, Eric Balkman, and my co-host is the patron saint of fantasy football, the Dizzle, Dave Gerzak. Coming up on tonight's show, does Dez Bryant's injury create a sneaky start for Cole Beasley? What Falcons running back is the better one to plug in the lineups? And third place owner in the main event, Leo Bell, shares his thoughts on drafting live with the FFPC and what stud he thinks should be on benches this week. Shout out to the chat room right now. Feel free to post any questions you guys might have in there. If you want to connect with us on Twitter, at HSFFHour, at Eric Balkman, at David Gerzak. If you want to chime in and talk with us, give us a call at 347-426-3682. That's 347-GAME-OVER. You can also email the show at the inbox, highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Our producer and mutual friend Rob and audio engineer Bryce will get those questions to us later on in the fantasy feedback section in the show. And you say, Balky, email, phone, Twitter, what about Facebook? Didn't say anything about Facebook.
No, you didn't say anything about Facebook, Balky. They have deleted our page because
inexplicably,
I like Trump. That is the problem.
We don't know if that's the reason.
That is the reason. The liberal Facebook media has deleted our Facebook page because they've seen some of my Trump stuff on my personal account.
What Dave is
We're trying to fight this. Get on Twitter and retweet my tweet.
Got an email from Facebook today. This is an email sent to Rob since he's run their Facebook
page. Those sons of bitches.
Hello, your
page. Can I swear on the show?
You just did. Hello, your page, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, has been removed for violating our terms of use. A Facebook page is a distinct presence used solely for business or promotional purposes. Among other things, pages that are hateful, threatening, or obscene are not allowed.
By the way, I've not put any Pepe memes up on my personal page, Twitter, or on that Facebook page,
just
to make it clear.
We also take down pages that attack an individual or group or that are set up by an unauthorized individual. If your page is removed for any of the above reasons, it will not be reinstated. Continued misuse of Facebook's features could result in the permanent loss of your account. Signed, the Facebook team.
Which I wouldn't mind my personal account because I never really go on there. But the point being, I don't know how you can get to the pages from wherever.
Yeah.
I barely know how to get there. I don't think I've ever posted on that page.
Three people have access to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hours page.
Who?
Dave Gerzak, who
doesn't even know how to access.
Doesn't know how to access it or post.
It's not, no offense to the page, but it's not the priority in my life.
It's user error. Is what it is. Our producer Rob, who, let's be honest, has not really done any really real work for the HSFF Hour in probably 2.5 years.
He's more interested in whiskey.
And cats. And me. And God knows, if there are three words that people use to describe me on social media, Dave, I think that it's clear that the choices would be clearly hateful, threatening, and obscene.
Yeah, that's true. See, and we've never even posted a political post on there. So, I mean, that's
no.
The only reason I could think of. And I don't even think anyone posted any comments like that. I'm deeply offended as an American. So take that, Facebook.
Rob and I were looking at ways to get the page reinstated. And a lot of the forums that we're going through trying to figure out how this could have happened, how we can fix it.
We probably have 100 fans that might care.
All it's 366 actually.
Oh.
Still
embarrassing.
People talking about why Islam, like they should be able to talk about Islam on Facebook.
What? So
that's the posts and the forums I'm seeing from like people who are ticked off that their page got.
Right, and there's no
throw us into that mix. Apparently,
that's not being
not that we have anything against Islam, but we do have
just radical Islam.
Just
for me
radical, not radical anything. Like we are not radical. We are whatever the HSFF hour is.
Like
it is the opposite of radical.
Like terrorists. But again, that wasn't posted on there. Anyway, I don't know.
So we're working on it.
It's very upsetting to you.
Yeah.
I don't really care.
Call your congressman. Don't worry about keeping fantasy legal. Put that in the back seat right now.
Yeah, our page is more important.
The Small Businesses of High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour Trade Association. Get us back on Facebook.
Yeah, maybe I should start posting Hillary picks that Aunt Jemima just mentioned. I can put that through FFPC.
I was just going to read that. Post a Hillary pick, they'll reactivate it. Okay, so that is the update on our Facebook page. Dave, welcome into the show. It's going to be a baller one tonight. Leo Bell is going to be coming on shortly, probably in about 9 minutes here.
Leo Bell is on and Le'Veon Bell is back. That's pretty cool.
We are ringing a couple of bells tonight here on the show. Two other things I want to mention at the top of the show before we get into it.
I've heard of one of these two that you're about to mention.
Android users, rejoice. We are now on Google Play, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Not on Facebook. Cannot cut it on Facebook, but we are on Google Play. Now.
Nice. Yeah, you win one, you lose one. That's
I
good.
Guess.
I've heard of that.
Yeah. So you've heard of Google Play. We are on there right now. You can download it.
What was
there.
The other one? Lima Bean or something?
Podbean. That's
oh, Podbean.
Nobody listens on. It's not a.
Don't say that. Maybe the Podbean people. Podbean, it's up and coming. Check it out. We love Podbean. They're the best.
My old podcast used to be hosted on Podbean.
Really?
Yeah. We haven't done it in years. Speaking of other podcasts,
yes.
A new podcast debuted this week on RotoViz Radio called The High Stakes Lowdown. It's hosted by yours truly, and our first guest was David Hubbard. Fantastic talking with him. It's like 37 minutes long. Just ignore me and listen to what Hubbard said. A lot of great stuff on there. Two-packer, of course.
I heard it's actually very good.
I enjoyed it. I've gotten some positive feedback on it. Not so much for what I did, which I didn't expect. I was just sort of there to drive the vehicle, and Hubbard was telling me where to go, which is perfect. A lot of great stuff on that, so check that out. It's a three-part mini-series, and if we continue to get positive feedback, it'll become a permanent fixture on RotoViz Radio. So
wow.
Very exciting.
You might get renewed for a second season or whatnot.
Yeah, we got a three-season or a three-episode order from RotoViz, and we'll see what happens. And, you know, the other thing, too, is I'm sort of answering to, of course, at Matt F. The Oracle and at Fantasy Douche on Twitter. There's sort of the guys that I have to answer to for this podcast. So it's sort of like now I have four bosses when it comes to podcasting.
Who's your other boss?
Well, it'd be you and Alex. Yeah, you
Alex
are.
Alex is.
So it's not like I have three bosses.
Alex is the boss. I am a boss. I'm not your boss.
You're not final boss.
I'm just boss. I'm not your boss, though.
Okay. Glad we have that clear.
Forget Tony Danza.
So the High Stakes Lowdown, check that out. New episodes every Thursday morning, at least for the next 2 weeks until I inevitably screw up and get the show canceled.
We're like partners in this.
Anyway, check out. Yeah, we are.
The
check
podcast
out,
only, not the.
I told you this off air. Dave, you were really surprised when you heard who David Hubbard's number two wide receiver was coming into the season.
Yes.
That was surprising. The amount of work that he puts into waivers and when he starts waivers.
Shocking.
With Nelson Sousa. A lot of great stuff there as well.
Yep.
Let's get into it. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Jamaal Charles will make his season debut against the Steelers this week. Charles had a slow recovery from his ACL surgery last year. The Chiefs no doubt will not be running him into the ground this first week. Spencer Ware obviously has looked very good so far to kick the season off. Charcandrick West is out on Sunday night.
I've heard.
It's Charles and Ware. Which one are you starting if you own both?
Well, Lucky, there was something in that article.
Okay.
Two little words, snap and count.
It means you're sitting Charles based on the Dave Gerzak. What do we call it again?
It's the fantasy strategy card I'm bringing out, coming out on Amazon within
a
few months. When you use the word snap count, you cannot start that player. I'm benching Charles unless I'm absolutely desperate and you have to. Or if they come back, again, if the coaches say, hey, Charles is going to start and, you know, get all the carries. But if they say snap count, forget it. He's out.
So Jamaal Charles is a must-sit for you. You are playing Spencer Ware.
By the way, Brandon Marshall was on a snap count last week.
That worked out for you.
3 for 27.
Looked great. Great call.
So there you go. Bench him.
I have Spencer Ware and Jamal Charles in a lot of leagues. Well, you know, probably three or four leagues. That's a lot for me to have this same player combination. Benching Charles in all, starting Spencer Ware in all, and feeling all right about Ware. I feel like what we saw with Ware and West the first 3 weeks, it'll sort of be that same thing with Ware and Charles this week, especially the way they babied Charles first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what we see again
against
Pittsburgh. Dez Bryant is out for week four against San Francisco. Dr. James Andrews gave Dez some good news that it was not a season-ending knee injury, but the Cowboys are probably going to play it safe. It's funny, as I saw word that he was listed as out, and then after that I saw that he was still questionable. God knows what Dallas is doing. Maybe the John Fox Jedi mind trick with the injury report is at play here. But I'm not counting on Dez Bryant week four. I do believe he sits. What do you know with Cole Beasley and Bryce Butler? Starting either of those guys, knowing that Bryant is out, or let's throw Terrence Williams in there as well.
Terrence Williams sucks. Bryce Butler also sucks. Beasley's awesome.
Right.
He's their number one. I'm getting Beasley in everywhere I can. I'm trying to squish him in. If I can squish him into my lineup's ball game, I'm starting him. And Witten, another guy. I'm going to get Witten in there too.
I'm just looking at some of the at mentions and retweets.
See?
For
these tweets,
for
baby. What do we got?
It seems like everybody is just sold on the fact that this has to be because of your Trump support.
Trump.
Yeah.
Just if
could not be anything else.
If Cernovich retweets it, it's going crazy.
Okay. Well, we'll
see
what happens.
That guy's got 100,000 followers.
Well, hopefully, I'll tell you what, Donald Trump. If you get us back on Facebook, you have my vote, my friend. It's secured, locked, loaded, ready to go.
You know, Two-Packer mentioned Codpiece. Did we put Codpiece on that?
I don't believe we did.
On the page?
I don't believe we did. And if we put any Codpiece photos, they were all very tasteful and meaningful to the plot. So
I'm
I think that any...
We didn't post any of those Caesars pictures with the selfie with the naked Statue of David or anything.
Yeah, that may have been on there.
Really?
It could have been.
Maybe that was it.
But the thing is, we've been doing that for years.
That's art.
And nobody said bull about that. So I don't know. And remember, that had been
out
for like a month.
That would actually be funny, though.
If that's the reason.
If there was you posted a naked picture of David from...
Yeah, it's a Statue of David.
The Greek and Roman times.
There's plenty of other Facebook pages with the Statue of David on, so certainly that can't be the reason.
That's art.
Delanie Walker will be a game-time decision at Houston this week. Mike Mularkey said today that Walker will go through his pregame workout to determine whether or not he can play. Walker actually practiced on back-to-back days this week, limited in both workouts Wednesday and Thursday. I believe he was limited once again today. Are you looking elsewhere? Because, you know, there's obviously no Zach Ertz, no Trey Burton, no Richard Rodgers, no Jared Cook this week at a minimum. You have no Antonio Gates probably going this week. So there's not a lot of great tight end options out there. Are you playing Delanie Walker?
If I have a guy like Pitta, I'd play Pitta. But if I don't, I guess if they say he's starting and they don't really say anything else about, you know, snap counts, I know I keep saying that, but the fact that he's practiced Thursday and Friday is good, but the fact that he was limited is kind of bad. I guess I would just wait for the Sunday news and see what my other options are. I mean, like anybody else, but I wouldn't go I wouldn't bench him for some desperation option if they say he's actually starting. I would kind of feel a little more confident putting him in if I had to.
Seems a little abstract, doesn't it, listeners? Let's try to quantify it for you. Player,
right,
would you
let's
rather?
Do it.
Would you rather get a massage from a man or surgery from a female doctor?
Would you have sex with Cleveland if it meant you could have sex with Angelina Jolie?
Who would you rather do?
What would you guys rather be?
Who would you rather start a small business with?
Who would you rather have sex with?
Do you want breakfast or would you rather chew on your own ass as usual?
What?
Let's start things off low here. Delanie Walker at Houston or Cameron Brate at home against the Broncos?
Well, so let's just say, the news comes out, Delanie Walker is active and starting at 11 a.m. from whatever news source he is, right?
Okay.
Okay. So the question was Brate?
Yeah, Brate.
I'd probably go Walker.
Tennessee, by the way, does play a 1 o'clock game, just so everybody's aware. It is an early game.
How's Houston ranked against tight ends, just offhand?
You are delving deep, my friend, into stats I do not have at hand here.
All right, that's fine.
So I would go with Walker there. I'm going to go a little bit further up. Walker or Jacob Tammy? At home against Panthers.
I'm going to go Walker. Tammy didn't get a lot of targets. He had a lot of targets the week before, but Hooper was getting some targets last week. So I'm going to get off the Tammy bandwagon. He's old and kind of crappy.
Here's an interesting one. Seattle actually plays the late game this week. Well, not the late game, but a late game that starts at they play at noon as well. Jimmy Graham at the Jets. or Delanie Walker. Jimmy Graham, who practiced in full today, but is also listed as questionable.
I'm feeling optimistic about Graham. He had that big week last week. I think Graham might be back. I'm actually looking at the rejections. Everybody has Graham really low. I think that they feel like they got burned last year, but I think he might be back and have some targets this week again.
So you're going Graham?
I'll go Graham.
Still going Walker.
Okay.
Final one, Delanie Walker at Houston or Eric Ebron at the Bears.
Ebron's questionable too, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Who's not questionable? These guys all are.
I'll tell you it's not questionable. The fact that we may or may not be off Facebook, that is not debatable. We are off.
Who cares?
Me. Many other people. 366 other people.
Suck it, Zuckerberg. We don't care.
Walker or Ebron?
I don't know. Whatever.
I'm going Ebron.
Fine. That's fine. I can live with Ebron.
Josh Gordon said yesterday that he's stepping away from pursuing his return to football in order to enter rehab, according to the NFL Network's Ian Rappaport. Gordon was supposed to be coming back to play in Week 5 with Cleveland next year. Now, he might be done with the Browns or maybe the NFL for good. Sounds like Huey Jackson wants to move on from Josh Gordon. What do you do in redraft? You're clearly cutting him, right? There's no reason to keep him around the rest of this season.
I'm sorry, I was answering a question there. You were asking
Josh Gordon in redraft. Is he on any of your rosters?
No, cut. See ya.
Okay. Josh Gordon in dynasty. Are you keeping him or are you cutting him there too?
I had to cut him. I cut him this preseason. And I kept Bolden because it was kind of a mistake. I had to get down to a roster requirement
right.
In this other private league.
Okay.
And I felt like it was a big mistake the whole time until 2 days ago. I probably would keep him if I had the roster spot for him, but I mean, at this point, he's getting down into the Justin Blackmon range but Blackmon, you saw him, he was like 250 and fat on a bus, I think.
Right.
You know,
yep.
At some point, like on some picture. I just hope he does well for himself, kind of, but I mean, from a greedy fantasy perspective, he's screwed so many people over, I don't really care.
Hypothetical situation right now. Let's say you own him in Blake Harrington Dynasty League. I have a 4th round pick that I want to send you for Gordon. Would you make that deal?
No, I would not.
3rd round pick.
Probably not. 2nd, I would probably do it if I own him.
I would still give him up for a 3rd or 4th. I'm done.
Really?
Yeah, just whatever.
Do you own him?
No, I don't. But I would.
I would have bought him.
Because everybody went ape, you know what, to get Gordon in Dynasty. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people just went like crazy trying to get, even in redraft, mm-hmm. They went overdraft taking Josh Gordon like the 4th, 5th round. It was insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane. And certainly regretting using that pick on that player right
now. That's true. I don't think any of the Kentucky teams ended up with Gordon, did they?
Not of our Wisconsin ones that I'm aware of. None of mine did. Chargers, maybe without 1, 2, 3 offensive line starters for Sunday's game against the Saints.
That means Melvin Gordon will have a touchdown again.
Well, we'll get into Melvin Gordon here. Left tackle King Dunlap has migraines. He's out. Right tackle Joe Barksdale and left guard Orlando Franklin, both listed as questionable. Barksdale did not practice today. Franklin practiced in a limited fashion. Melvin Gordon, you had to be licking your chops if you're a Gordon owner facing the New Orleans Aints, as it were.
Yep.
Now what do you do? Are you still deploying him against that horrible defense with 3 backup offensive linemen blocking for him?
Yeah, you kind of have to. I think you have to. I mean, he's doing so well. You just can't not start him. I think he's a must start.
Can't not, so that means you're starting him.
That's right. Sure. Double negative, Balky.
All
sometimes
right.
It works.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes it may or may not have got us banned from Facebook. We have much more coming up, including Leo Bell, 3rd place in the FFPC main event. We'll get to Leo in just a few minutes. You're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak coming back at you out of the break. Apparently a little bit too delayed for my co-host, Dave Gerzak, here.
Yeah, that was a long break, Balky.
It wasn't that long of a break. This is the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and I'm pleased to welcome in tonight's guest, ladies and gentlemen, longtime High Stakes Fantasy Football player, comes in to Week 4 in 3rd place in the FFPC main event. Remember, Dave, 1st place in that, I believe, gets $250,000. Now, granted, we're early on in the season, but I'd much rather be in this guy's position than numerous other people. Please welcome into the show from the Lions Den franchise, Leo Bell. Leo, man, thanks for joining the show tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Leo, are you on Facebook at all?
Sometimes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Use whatever clout you have there and say, hey, These guys are the high stakes fantasy footballer. They deserve to have their page back.
Hey, Facebook.
Hey, Facebook. Please let and in case you're wondering, go ahead and listen to my interview. And then they'll go ahead and put us on.
We might have to go back to MySpace, Balky. We're going to set up a MySpace page.
Yeah, we might have to. You and I can get the old band back together, our two-man band.
Yeah, and play music on our page. All sorts of graphics.
Dust off the Cajun accordion. Anyway, Leo, we'll get into some fantasy analysis here with you. So many questions to ask you about week four. So many questions to ask you about your team. But before we do that, tell the listeners what you do when you are not dominating the FFPC main event.
Well, I'm actually a professional bridge player. That's
yes.
The card game bridge. I
a
travel
professional
around the country. Yeah, I travel around the country playing bridge with people for money.
That is great. I have no words. I will also say maybe this is a thing because, you know, Rich Dunn, longtime draft experts player with the FFPC, also plays bridge on Friday nights, which is why he's never agreed to come on this show because he's always playing bridge. Maybe this is like a gateway to understanding fantasy football a little bit better, is becoming a competitive / professional bridge player.
Well, change your questions now. You're going to ask him, how does bridge relate to fantasy? That's my first question for you.
Yeah,
does
Leo,
it at all?
Leo, has bridge taught you anything about being a better high stakes fantasy football player?
Yeah, I think it actually has. You know, bridge is continual problem solving when you're playing during the game. And, you know, obviously you're looking at fantasy football over the course of a whole season, but, you know, you have the draft and then you have the in-season lineup changes and pickups that you need to make. So it's, you know, it's kind of the same philosophy, the same type of logic. In fact, the very first fantasy football league that I was in was organized by bridge players.
Nice.
Building the bridge.
Yes.
The fantasy football.
Some that are still in the FFPC, Jim Nicola, Phil Feldman, who's my partner in these leagues, have done pretty well. Todd Allman.
Oh, yeah, so we got Pickpockets, which is Jim Nicola,
right.
Todd Allman, River Dog.
Yep.
And then who's the third gentleman?
Yep.
Your partner?
Phil Feldman.
Right on. That's right. So, okay, great.
It's a who's who. It's a who's who of FFPC players that are just, they have this bridge network going across the country, Dave. This underground bridge.
So we'll ask a fantasy question now. I guess that was kind of one. A big reason why you're in first place right now, Leo, has been a great performance of Marvin Jones. Boy, he crushed it last week. Why did you believe he'd be the guy to own over Golden Tate? We heard some rumors in preseason about that. Marvin Jones was the de facto number one. But did you believe those? And where do you think Jones ends up finishing among wide receivers this year?
Well, I really liked the situation he was coming into. You know, he turned down a contract from the Bengals to stay there because he wanted to be the number one receiver on a team. So I doubt that he would have gone to the Lions if they hadn't at least said that they were going to give him the opportunity to be the number one receiver. So that was the first thing that I looked at. The second thing that I looked at was the offensive coordinator who took over in the middle of last year, Jim Bob Cooter, has a style of offense that, you know, has Detroit running a lot of plays, you know, throwing down the field quite a bit. And I think Marvin Jones is, you know, going to take full advantage of that opportunity. Golden Tate is turning more into a dink and dunk type receiver, which is okay. I mean, in a PPR, he's going to, you know, probably get 6 or 7 catches per game. But I just think Marvin Jones, you know, the combination of the talent, the youth, you know, he's right at that period where receivers typically, you know, get it. They figure out what's going on. So I think he's going to finish in the top 10 wide receivers for the year.
Top 10, so that's awesome.
He's definitely on his way right now, for sure, and certainly you've been proven correct so far. Dave, a point on Marvin Jones?
No, actually, I want to talk about Jim Bob Cooter.
Oh, yeah.
So
the name or the man?
At some point in his life, his name is Jim Bob Cooter. He had a choice, right? He had a choice to say, hi, I'm Jim Bob Cooter, or I'm James Cooter. He could have gone...
Or James Cooter.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Whatever he want, you know, he could have gone away from Dukes of Hazzard.
Right.
But he went full Dukes of Hazzard. I'm Jim Bob Cooter, damn it. And so what do you think about that, Leo?
Yeah, he's kind of a wild guy. I did a little research on him, and he was a little out there when he was in college. I believe he went to Tennessee and had a few incidents, let's put it that way.
Under research.
Yeah, I think it's all about the branding when it comes down to it. You want to get a job doing, you know, getting some sort of coordinator position in the South or in Tennessee.
It has to help in the South, right? It helps in the South.
Yeah, I mean,
it relates
like,
to people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have these two guys. We could either go with James Sterling or Jim Bob Cooter. Well, hell. Let's go with Jim Bob Cooter.
Go with
Sinclair Marshall calling from Michigan.
It ain't even a discussion for me. Get the Cooter in here. I don't. What are we even talking? Let's get to football. We got practices to get to. Hire Jim Bob Cooter. I don't know anything about this James Sterling guy. Get Jim Bob Cooter in here. Anyway,
perfect.
Get back to
that name might have made his career vault.
Yeah, it might have. I'm telling you, the guy's probably a lot smarter than we're guessing. Leo, let's talk Dexter McCluster here for a little bit because he was sort of a hot name on the waiver wire last week after Danny Woodhead goes down with the season-ending ACL injury. McCluster comes into the Chargers offense, which he understands, has played in for several years. You actually end up getting him on this team that's in third place for $129, which granted was a little bit more in some leagues, but in a lot of leagues he was going for $300, $400. I saw one league he went for $500-some. Was the bid on McCluster more of, I don't really want this guy, but if I get him for this price, I'll totally do it? Or was this, you know, what he was sort of worth to you as a running back that you could plug and play?
Yeah, a little both. You know, he really fits into the Charger offensive style. And, you know, he has a history of being an exceptional punt returner. So, you know, I liked him, but, you know, I live in the San Diego area, and I have a hard time trusting anything the San Diego football team does. But it seems like he's in a great situation. But my general philosophy on bidding is, you know, don't go too well because, you know, for every opportunity that you see today, they're gone tomorrow and another opportunity comes up. So I don't like to throw $300 or $400 bids out there unless I really think, you know, a guy is in a super situation. He's taken over as a starter on a team. So I don't think Dexter McCluster is necessarily going to be a great player, but, you know, as a bye week fill in, I think, you know, he could really be good. Plus, you know, maybe return a couple punts for touchdowns. So I guess,
Leo, go ahead. I was going to say, I'm going to switch topics a little bit, and let's talk about Steelers receivers not named Antonio Brown. There's a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Eli Rogers was in a walking boot earlier this week. So you have him. We have Marcus Wheaton, Sammy Coates. Do you think any, sounds like Rogers isn't going to play. So we have Wheaton or Coates. Which one do you think is start-worthy, if any? Because Jesse James isn't really doing anything. So
not much, yeah.
Yeah, so it's Antonio Brown or nothing.
Do I hear Darius Hayward Bay? You know, again, there's another situation that I have a hard time trusting. You know, anybody beyond Antonio Brown, it seems like they have one good week, then they disappear for 2 weeks. You know, Marcus Wheaton had like kind of week that Marvin Jones had last week. You know, he had that in 1 week last year where he had over 200 yards receiving and, you know, like 35 fantasy points, and then he pretty much disappeared. So I don't have any faith in either of those guys.
It's tough, too. I mean, when you're talking about only two teams on bye this week, you know, chances are you probably have a decent amount of receivers to choose from. And in the FFPC and Football Guys Players Championship, of course, you only need to start two. So it could be a difficult situation. You probably have to be in some dire straits to start either one of those Steelers receivers. We're talking with Leo Bell, who currently sits third place in the FFPC main event as we move into week four. And Leo, one of the hottest waiver wire pickups this week, Jordan Howard, the running back for the Chicago Bears.
He should have been rostered, by the way.
Stepping in for Jeremy Langford. Now, it's no secret that John Fox has some sort of unnatural aversion to playing rookies, no matter how good they are. And Howard is, in fact, a rookie and not really a pedigreed one. We'll have to fact check this. Do you know what round pick Howard was? Fourth round? Was he a fourth round? Okay, so fourth round pick. He's stepping in to be the man. In Chicago, they signed Joyke Bell for depth this week. Kadeem Carey also banged up. They go against Detroit this week. So you look at Jordan Howard, Leo, playing for the Bears, being the man in that backfield. How should fantasy owners be treating him in their starting lineups, not just this week, but going forward over the next month and a half, as long as Langford is out?
I actually love Jordan Howard. I did roster him, and I think that even if there hadn't been an injury to Langford, that he would have taken over as the starting running back for the Bears. So I think he's going to have a great opportunity here. You know, yeah, John Fox doesn't like to play rookies, but, you know, come on, Joyke Bell, you know, no team picked him up before now. I mean, how much does Joyke Bell have to offer? So I see this in. They have, like, Carey, like you mentioned, is hurt. They have one other guy that they got from Cleveland. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head, but he's, you know, he's not a factor. So, you know, if I were looking at spending money out of my fab budget, this is the kind of guy that, you know, can hit a home run for a team. So I would definitely bet a lot of money on him.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is with Howard is he was rostered, like Dave said, he was rostered in a lot of leagues, and in the leagues he wasn't, people obviously, when they see the opportunity, as many touches as he is going to get, it's extraordinarily tough to keep him on the waiver or not bid enough and let one of your opponents have him. So I think Howard clearly is going to be sought after, was grabbed in pretty much every league now, and will be in lineups going forward here. Dave, your thoughts on Jordan Howard? Our top 20 guy, as long as Langford's out?
Yeah, I think so, actually. I think he'll be pretty good.
Okay.
I like him.
Fair enough. So, moving on.
So, Leo, I'm going to ask you a question that's not on our question list here.
Okay.
And you know, like, they say, as an attorney, you should never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
You're not an attorney.
I'm not
an attorney.
We're not in a court of law.
But we could use one to try to get us back on Facebook.
So what do you think of the Westgate overall? I mean, you can tell us if you thought it totally sucked, it was great, whatever. Give us your feedback, please.
I thought the facilities were very nice. The room was fine. You know, overall, I thought it was a very nice location. You know, I can't think of anything negative to say about it.
That's good. I like that. Two things I like. I like the food. I thought the food was really
good.
Food
was very good, yep.
I like the walk. I mean, we stayed on property, so I thought the walk was nice.
You know, it was the best.
And you'd have to walk, like Rio, like you had to walk, like, oh, my God.
Miles.
I know you like the steps with the Fitbit bulky. I mean, I like the steps, too, but I like them on when I want to step.
Yeah.
I don't want to step because you're making me step.
All right, interesting take.
So, Leo, let's talk about
draft experts here.
Let's talk about the live 1250 draft experts league out in Vegas. So what do you think? Do you like the main event format better, or do you just like the draft experts? Set it and forget it. You draft your team, and you guys are just moving on.
The thing that I hate the most in fantasy football is setting my lineup every week, because I always seem to end up with these teams where I've got four wide receivers that are all about the same, and I have to pick two or three of them, and it drives me crazy. And I look at other people's opinions. I talk to my partner, Phil. I talk to my buddies. You know, who should I play? Who should I not play? And, you know, draft experts takes that out of the equation. So, I like to be in different types of leagues. So, you know, that makes it especially attractive. But not having to change my lineup is wonderful.
Sort of like the appetizers, Dave, when you go out to a nice seafood restaurant, shrimp cocktail, crab cakes. You know what? I have a little of both. Get the draft experts, get the main event. It makes a lot of sense. Leo Bell is our guest tonight here on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. We'll be right back after a short break. We're going to come back and talk to Leo about what he likes best about drafting live and versus drafting online. You're listening to the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. Eric Balkman and Dave Gerzak on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Third place in the FFPC main event on his way to a $250,000 grand prize, if he can move up two more spots and hold on to that for the next 12 weeks.
Oh, no big deal.
No, it's no problem. The Lion's Den, Leo Bell joining us on the show tonight. I'm Eric Balkman. He's Dave Gerzak. And Leo, you know, Dave already touched on it, getting your opinion on the Westgate. You were obviously drafting live out there. We had a guest on the show, Bo Berman, who actually led the FFPC main event after 1 week last year, also having some early success this year in his main event. He told me actually when we were in Vegas this past year that he goes back to the WCOF days. He always likes drafting live because he likes looking around the table, seeing the reactions of the people in his league to certain picks, and seeing getting that dynamic ingrained to his head while he's drafting. Is that something that you ever do when you're drafting live, is like looking around to seeing, you know, similar to how a poker player looks at players at the table, at their faces when the cards come out and they look at their cards? Is there anything that you glean when you are drafting live from your fellow competitors, or are you just focused on the task at hand, building the best possible team that you can do?
Yeah, I absolutely prefer live drafts, and I do look at the reaction of players to what's going on. When you're online, it's hard to get a sense of, you know, like, this guy loves Viking players, or this guy, you know, hates running backs and loves wide receivers, or this guy is going to take a quarterback until round 14. So, you know, it's much harder to do that when you're online. First of all, it's moving pretty quickly. You don't know who you're really drafting against. By the time you figure that out, the draft is over. So, and the other thing that I love is to be able to go in on Friday or Saturday and see all the draft boards and look at, you know, what happened to teams that are in the same position that I'm in, the same draft spot. Yeah, that's great. I love that.
That's pretty amazing. I like live drafting.
Makes a lot of sense. I think that there's a certain strategic advantage to drafting live, versus online. Although we have had a lot of winners come from the online division, so it's a horse apiece, really.
Well, it's whatever you prefer.
Yeah. Whatever you prefer.
Live is so much more funner.
Listen, we're all about
more funner, Balky.
We're all about two things here at the FFPC, Dave: giving our players options and getting banned on Facebook. I think those are the two ideals we stuck to. And
a little controversial.
Really hit a home run on the latter today. Go ahead.
So you've been fairly conservative on the waiver wire so far. You must have a lot of money left. If you know how much you have left, let us know after this dumb question. Are you waiting to pounce on – okay, great question. Sorry, Rob. Rob, don't take it easy. Are you waiting to pounce on a big name with the majority of your budget, or do you more like to peck away with small – I think the word peck away. Peck away with smaller investments, hoping they hit. Nice one, Rob.
I'm pretty conservative. I very seldom will spend 40 to 50% of my FAB budget for the year on one player because, like I said, situations change. You know, I know that, you know, it's kind of an opportunity lost if you don't spend money on somebody and they turn out to be really good. But I've just found over the years that, you know, by the time week 7 or 8 rolls around, it's an entirely different universe out there. And I like having some money to buy players at that point. So I was just looking at some of the waiver wire activity in various leagues. And like somebody spent $405 for Matt Asiata. Now, I don't know how desperate they were at running back, but, you know, in my mind, Matt Asiata has had plenty of opportunity and never shown anything. And I would never consider spending that amount of money for a player like that. If, you know, it would have to be like a young player that, you know, has a lot of potential, or somebody that's proven themselves in a similar situation. But, you know, to answer your question, I'm pretty conservative.
Yeah, I'm
more of a pecker.
Listen, I am with Leo on the whole. Yeah.
Balky's a pecker too.
Matt Asiata thing. No, on the Matt Asiata thing. I'm not necessarily a little pecker when it comes to the waiver wire. I can be a big one every now and then.
That's a good. We should use that term. Like, if I'm more of a waiver pecker. You like peck at, you know, peck. It's like probably a Woody Woodpecker.
It's probably language and references like this that has the Facebook page banned.
There was no pecker references on Facebook
that we know of. Let's, Leo, we have an email here from Jerry in Coraopolis, Pennsylvania, I believe is what it is.
Is that for real?
Yes, for real. Coraopolis. Anyway, he writes, Leo, Carlos Hyde ended up having a good week last week thanks to Chip Kelly running the ball with him while getting destroyed and then getting Hyde to mop up TDs in the final 8 minutes. Do you think that continues this year for Hyde, or was it an aberration? That is Jerry in Coraopolis, Pennsylvania. Talking about Carlos Hyde, it's interesting because he really was having a poor game against Seattle. And Seattle was up by, you know, whatever it was, 30 points at that point. Chip Kelly continues to run the ball late with the decision, the game well in hand for Seattle. And Hyde ends up getting with the two garbage touchdowns late last week. Do you think that this is something that San Francisco continues to do, running the ball as opposed to passing to try to get back in the game? Or was this something that just dumb luck, it happened, he's not normally going to get two touchdowns late in the game? What side do you fall on with Carlos Hyde, Leo?
Well, the one thing I will say is that I don't think San Francisco's passing attack is going to be very successful. So they're probably better off running Hyde at the end of the game than trying to pass the ball. I wouldn't be at all surprised if the rumors of Kaepernick returning as the starting quarterback turn out to be true, in which case that's going to limit Hyde's opportunities because Kaepernick is going to run with the ball. He's one of those guys that I don't really have a strong feeling for one way or another.
Well, believe me, I did.
One thing I'll say about Kaepernick is at the end of the game, if they're winning, he's definitely going to kneel.
Where did you hear that one?
I just made it up.
Oh, whatever. There's no way you made that up.
What, do you think I found out a meme?
That's hilarious. Yeah. Protest.
You didn't even laugh. You didn't give a genuine laugh. Because
it wasn't a genuine joke. There's no way that you made that up.
I just made it up.
Then it's too good for your humor, because clearly I could not believe that you just
cheesy.
Came up.
It's kind of lame.
Well, no, it's not lame. It's actually very funny.
But you didn't genuinely laugh.
Because I thought you just genuinely stole it from somebody. I didn't think you actually made it up.
Do we have another tweet or email for Leo?
We have the final question
for you to ask him. Leo, I'm sorry about this. This is kind of a messy interview.
I know you didn't make this question up. This is something that
I got this off Twitter just now.
He recorded.
Leo, give us an early round stud that people should seriously consider benching this week that's not injured, as well as a player that not many people will start this weekend that you think will have a good performance.
Well, I know it would be hard to bench him, but I would have serious reservations about playing Gronk this week. I just think this is another typical Belichick. You know, I'm not going to let people know what's going on, but I don't think he's really healthy enough to be totally involved in the New England passing game. I think they're going to, you know, when he is in there, I think he's going to end up blocking a lot to protect, you know, whichever quarterback is healthy enough to be in there. So, you know, I'm sure whoever owns him is not going to bench him, but I wouldn't expect a whole lot from him this week. As far as
that's the thing with Gronk, he's got such a low floor.
He does. I mean, you know, I'm sure everybody that put him in their lineup the last game was very disappointed. And the guy, the sleeper guy, again, this is probably somebody that whoever owns them will start him, but I really like Isaiah Crowell this week against Washington. He's one of those guys that isn't very sexy, but I think he's going to have a big game.
Crowell, Balky.
He's in third place in the main event, people. He knows what he's talking about. Use caution when starting Rob Gronkowski this week. And hey, if you need somebody to fulfill one of those flex spots in your FFPC league, look at Isaiah Crowell. Could have a big week, according to Leo Bell. Leo, man, listen, I want to thank you for coming on the show on a Friday night with us tonight. It was certainly our pleasure to have you on. We learned a few things. We shared a few laughs. Hopefully we will see you, you know, in the winner's circle or near the top once again at the end of the year. You've certainly had a great first month of the season. Your team is loaded, and it looks like it could continue to do damage down the stretch here. So best of luck to you, and we'll talk to you again soon, man.
Thanks. You can make the check out to me now.
Yeah, baby. We're signing it right now. Thank you so much, Leo. You have a fantastic night, man. Leo Bell from the San Diego area, third place in the FFPC main event. Good guy. Maybe he gets us back on Facebook. More on that after the break. Eric Balkman, Dave Gerzak, HSFF Hour.
Before we go on break, do we have time for some Jim? We'll do it after the break. Do we have Jim
Cooter
trivia?
We'll tease it. Yeah, we'll do some Jim Bob Cooter trivia after the break.
Perfect.
HSFF Hour on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dave Gerzak, Eric Balkman, the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour coming at you every single week here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We talked a little bit about it before the break. Great interview from Leo Bell, guy who is looking to make some serious cash this year in the main event. And he brought up Jim Bob Cooter as a reason that he actually liked Marvin Jones this year. You, Dave Gerzak, did a little...
got a couple questions for you.
Did a little work, a little research, a little Cooter research at the break.
Do you know anything about him?
Like very little.
Okay, do you have any idea how old he is?
I would say in his 40s.
He is 32.
Really?
32 years old. He's the second youngest offensive coordinator in the NFL.
But who's the youngest?
The dude from Washington. I forgot his name.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, isn't Jay Gruden really much the play caller and offensive genius there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So Jim Bob Cooter, 32 years old.
Yep.
Second youngest coordinator in the NFL. Offensive or just coordinator in general?
Coordinator in general is what I read.
Wow.
So he was a graduate. He played quarterback at Tennessee, but he kind of sucked, and he was a graduate assistant 07, 08. He's super young, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
He's had two little, you know, kind of criminal problems. So, you know, he got arrested for DWI when he was 25.
Okay.
And then in 2009,
yeah,
he was, I'm just going to read this. His real name is James Robert Cooter. This is when he was, 2009, he was 25. He was facing aggravated burglary charges after allegedly getting in bed with a woman after climbing through a window of her Fort Sanders apartment. He climbed through a window on Franklin Station Way, stripped down to his underwear, and got into the bed with the woman Saturday. He was released on a $10,000 bond in the rain. Charges were eventually dropped.
You know, people say there's not enough innovation and confidence among coordinators in the NFL. Everybody wants to do the same old, be the copycat.
Meet her in the bar, call her 3 days later.
Right, exactly. Get her number, take her out for spaghetti, you know, on a first date. Maybe check out a rom-com at the local theater. Jim Bob Cooter just, he goes for the glory right away, man.
He's a little direct.
He's got balls. That Cooter has some balls on him, my friend.
I was saying waivers. He's no pecker.
He
goes right for it.
You know, we're not careful. We're going to be on Fantasy Sports Radio Network here pretty quick. Is that the end of Cooter trivia?
That's all I got on Cooter. You know, and I couldn't find out if he's single or married. I'm wagering he's single.
Yeah, so. I would not take that bet. I think that I would fall on the same side.
I mean, he's
that.
Not. I mean, if you look at his picture, he's not. All, I mean, he's not like. Yeah, where is it? Where is he? Okay, this is. So he's not altogether ugly.
Yeah.
But he could be a little. He could be a stalkerish. So I'm not really.
He does. He does have a stalkerish tone.
Kind of a stalker thing going on a little bit.
Those eyes, man.
But I mean, it looks a little better now. I mean, that was kind of a. You know, this looks a little more. You know, clean.
He looks so focused.
Yeah.
He's a very, what do they call it, myopic? Myopic?
Myopic.
Myopic.
Very serious man.
Yeah, a serious man indeed, Jim Bob Cooter. Let's get into tweets and emails.
If you've got a question for Eric Dave or tonight's guest, send them a tweet at HSFF Hour on Twitter. Email the show at highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Post it in the chat room during the broadcast. Hashtag your tweet with HSFF or just smack Eric in the head. That's highstakesfantasyfootball@gmail.com or at HSFF Hour on Twitter.
Kick things off with a tweet this week, Dave, to lead things off. I thought I had this up, and apparently I didn't. So we're just...
Are we banned from the Twitter now?
No, we're still on Twitter. Listen, Twitter, anything goes there, man. It's like...
The Twitter? They just updated their terms of service. You better read that.
Yeah, you know, I got that email today, too. I thought that was peculiar. Twitter is, if we get banned from Twitter too, we'll just go on Tumblr because literally there is nothing you can't do on Tumblr. That just everything goes.
We'll broadcast the show. No one wants to see it, but we could do it naked if we wanted.
We could do anything naked if we wanted. There is a tweet here, and I just had it. It's from, I love the fact that I get to do the high stakes lowdown now, but it is.
Are you the problem, Balky, is all my retweets of my tweet about the Facebook issue.
That's another thing.
They're obscuring what you're looking for.
I think I went by it. That's the other thing that's annoying about this is you.
How good is Hunter Henry? That's what I have on my list.
No, that's not it. That's not, this is a game time decision right here.
Who cares?
I do want to get to this here. I can't believe how long it's taking me to find this. Hang on.
Do you want to take another break?
I got it.
Fantasy Network gets a little more money.
At RegSimon84 on Twitter.
Hey, Reg, this had better be good.
His name is Greg Simon, but it looks like at RegSimon. Hey, Eric, just address this to me. Hey, Eric, looking for some advice. Desperate for an RB to start. Jamal, which I assume is Charles, Spiller, Terrence West, DeAndre Washington, or Dexter McCluster. Which one are you starting this week? So there's
who's
you know,
all right, here we go.
Okay, so you have he's Jamal with two L's, which I'm assuming is Charles.
Charles, right?
Okay, Spiller,
no.
Terrence West,
okay.
DeAndre Washington, not Dwayne. DeAndre, and Dexter McCluster. Do you want to know who they play?
No.
Matchups, throw them out the window. Does not matter.
I mean, it's
you're just going strictly talent with these guys.
It's kind of a lot of garbage in a way. I mean, you almost have to go with Jamal Charles or DeAndre Washington, right? Is that?
I actually said Terrence West.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he supposed to be starting?
Well, the thing is, I think Forsett is still the starter, but I think West had the most touches on that offense last week.
That's kind of still a mess. I'm going to call him.
These are messes.
I'm going to call it Terrence Mess, Spiller, Spillroy. He sucks. Jamal Charles missed. I'll take Jamal Charles. I mean, even like Jamal Charles just winging it. Even snap count, I'm putting Charles out there.
So violating the Dave Gerzak fantasy start card or whatever.
How many of those players could possibly ever sniff the Hall of Fame, even for their respective team? None. if Charles gets 15 touches, 10 touches, he'll be better than
Cardinals. You are going to regret saying that in 8 years when Dexter McCluster is being inducted into the Professional Football Hall of Fame.
All right. So you're taking West. I'm taking Charles. You want to put $5 on it? Let's go. Come on. Eat some bets.
All right. If you're that eager, then I know I'm walking into a bear trap. You have to give me some points. Yeah.
Like, what, a point?
No. Multiple points. Screw that.
These guys are,
if you wouldn't have been so eager, I would have done it straight up. But the fact that you're like snapping your fingers in my face, like,
dude, Charles,
come on, okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Come on.
Charles is going to get like 8 and West will get like 4. I mean, what do you want me to do? Give you 4 points?
Terrence West over Jamal Charles straight up. I got 5 on it. Week 4.
I'll give you 4.
Fine. West plus 1.
Charles minus 1. Good gracious. Nice negotiating.
I would have done it minus 1. Hey, guys, can Hunter Henry break through the rookie tight end stigma and be a top 12 guy while Gates is out? TIA, that's Jason in Crescent, Oklahoma. We don't know how long Gates is going to be out.
I think it's going to be a long time.
If you followed the Roto World updates on Antonio Gates, they are pretty much putting him in a casket with everything they say on it, if you read between the lines.
Well, when Henry screwed up the game, by the way, which he did screw up and lose the game completely, when he did that.
Listen, he had a very good game up until that point.
He gave him the pat on the back.
Talking about the fumble late by Henry, by the way.
It was really coaching mode. I think he's like, you know what? I kind of like doing that. It's a lot better to get patted and guy on the rear end and say, hey, it's okay, instead of getting drilled by 260-pound 23-year-olds, in linebacker position and just getting destroyed during the game. So I think Gates is already in coaching mode. I think he's done.
Okay.
I think he's done. I'm actually considering cutting Gates. If another week or so, I might cut him.
Okay.
Anywhere I would hold him.
So Hunter Henry, assuming that's the case, top 12 tight end the rest of the way?
I think he's got a decent shot at that because tight end is so dicey this year. I think he's got a shot.
I think he has a shot. I do not think it is a good one. I do not believe him to be a top 12 tight end the rest of the way. And this is, by the way, with Keenan Allen still out, Danny Woodhead still out, they're running out of bodies to catch the ball, and I still have little faith in Hunter Henry this year. He probably.
What do you think he's worth in a dynasty?
Whoa,
you give
boy!
Up? 2017 first.
Would not give up a first round pick for a tight end.
Second.
Oh no, let's talk about FFPC terms. Yeah. Would
if you think it's a late first, I would do it.
Yeah, I guess
late
I would.
First,
I yeah, that's
not
a good
one
point.
Of the early first, but yeah, all right.
Because the thing is, if you take a rookie tight end, you got to let him germinate for like a year
years,
anyway.
Year or two.
Well, at least a year, right. You know. So like.
The
what are you
he's doing anything as a rookie is super impressive.
You get the germination year out of the way if you deal for him after this year. So
Right. Makes
a lot of sense. Hello, HSFFers. What would you guys do with Watkins now that he's IR'd and us fantasy players are facing the bye week gauntlet? That is Dan in Rochelle Park, New Jersey. Thank you for the email, Dan. I'm going to leave this question up to a man who has drafted Sammy Watkins in a league in his career. I still have yet to do it.
Not this year.
You didn't draft Watkins anywhere this year?
Not once.
Welcome to the good guys side.
Thanks to Sports Injury Predictor, which I paid $4 for.
Right.
Draft Sharks screwed me out of my $4.
Yes, you bring that up every week.
At Lenny Papa.
It's not. He's not. That's not him on Twitter, by the way. I think he's just strictly
at Draft Sharks.
Yeah.
Draft Sharks, great site. Love Lenny. I complained in person to him. He laughed. We both laughed.
So Sammy Watkins, would you drop him if you needed the roster spot to pick somebody up to get them in your lineup, or would you?
It's gonna be like a main event.
Yeah, let's
say
main event.
He's IR'd for like the 8 weeks.
He's IR'd. He cannot return for the next 8 weeks.
So 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. So like week 12, he could come back.
If your math is correct, then yes.
12 is 13. God. I'd consider dropping him, yeah. I would. You can always you'd probably snatch him up again in a couple weeks.
I don't know about that because I think as soon as he's dropped, I saw people picking up Peterson for hundreds of dollars after people dropped him. The guy's not going to play.
Yeah.
People are spending $200 to pick him up.
I think that Sammy Watt's done. If he comes, the thing is, okay, it's week. Let's say he comes back week 12, week 13, right? They reactivate him.
Yeah.
And they say he's healthy and all that. Do you put him in right away? No, you wait a week, right? And so
probably have to.
So he's got to have a good week. So then you have to have the good week, and then you go forward. Even like Jimmy Graham, he had
necessarily a good week, but just a healthy week.
Right. He's got to have a healthy, decent week, get some targets. Same with Jimmy Graham. You know, he came back, had a big week last week, and people are still not believing. And I get it. He had a terrible year last year, and now he's coming off the injury. So you need a couple of weeks. You need some proof, right?
Right.
So that's how I feel about Watkins. I feel like he's droppable. You wouldn't start him until weeks 14, 15, or 16, and that's being a tad egotistical. Unless, I mean, like, if your team is going to get that far, you're already four or five deep at wideout, so
right.
you don't even really.
Right. Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think he's completely droppable at this point. But again, I'm biased because I don't see the upside in Watkins that a lot of other people do.
Right. Watkins has had so many of these foot injuries. I mean, he's such a great pedigreed receiver. It's just it's unfortunate. All right, future dynasty for him. Future first.
Do you want to talk about the trade offers that were being discussed in Carrington?
I sent Sammy Tupacker an offer. I offered him Watkins, Virgil Green, Peterson, Jamal Charles, and Abdullah. Everyone
and wasn't there a draft
and a future third?
Future third, yeah.
All injured players for Corey Coleman, who's
also
hurt,
injured,
and Shepard, the only guy who is healthy.
He'll probably get hurt this week.
So Charles, So I don't know. It's not going to happen. And I don't even know if I considered it an over offer or not. Terrible.
Second round, future second rounder for Watkins.
I would buy Watkins at that price.
You would buy him at that price. I think I probably would too. Only like that's my my flip or flop strategy, because I feel like I'll just wait for some good news and then hopefully trade him again, because I don't want that guy on my team. It's my whole Carlos Hyde thing. I didn't want Hyde on my team, and
own Watkins in one league. I got an offer of that from actually Tupacker, and I passed. So that was even when I heard the IR news. A future first, that gets interesting. I probably would consider selling him at that point.
Yeah, I totally would, obviously. I own both Freeman and Coleman and am growing more confused each week at which one to start, or is the correct choice to start both every week. That is Terry in Westerville, Ohio. Thanks for the email, Terry. I would not advise starting Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman as your two running backs each week. Bear in mind, Atlanta's schedule has been incredibly easy the first 3 weeks.
That's because they sucked last year.
They did suck. The next 3 weeks, Carolina, Denver, Seattle.
Oh, you mean 1-2 Carolina?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still are a tough run defense.
Sorry, I have an under bet on them.
Denver.
Which I'm quite proud of.
Denver has not – they haven't been a dominant rush defense, but it's solid. And then obviously we all know what Seattle's capable of. I think it comes crashing down to earth for these guys. There's no way that they are like the top two running backs in scoring again this week. I look at who to start now. Who's the one that you want to start? Between Freeman and Coleman. I'm playing Devontae Freeman over Tevin Coleman.
You are.
He's getting more touches. He's doing more with the football. I know Coleman had the great performance last week, but that was three touchdowns, man. Touchdowns are fluky. We've said that on the show. We don't even need to say it on the show. They're just fluky. That's just the reality of the situation. I'll take Freeman with the touches, the catches, the carries over Tevin Coleman, who it seems like is still a backseat in that committee. The gap is shrinking between the two. Still playing Freeman.
If I had to choose between one, I'd probably in a PPR league, I'm going with Aunt Jemima. He said Freeman and PPR. That's what I'm rolling.
There you go. Freeman and PPR indeed. Greg in Arlington, Texas. Hello, Dave and Balky. Brandon Marshall's knee is sapping him of any real threat on the field, and Eric Decker is now out with a torn rotator cuff.
Ooh.
Dare I say Quincy Enunwa is the best start for Jets receivers this week? Good luck in week 4. That's Greg in Arlington, Texas. Thank you for the email, Greg in Arlington, Texas. I don't think a lot of people have – I don't know anybody who has Marshall, Decker, and Enunwa, okay, but in a vacuum.
I'm sure someone was smart enough to do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, maybe. But I bet there are a lot of teams out there with Marshall and Enunwa, with Decker and Enunwa. What are your thoughts on Enunwa this week in Seattle?
First of all, I should have bid more on Enunwa in every single possible league.
Actually, no, it's Seattle.
Or drafted him. But
Seattle is at the Jets, I believe. I get a double.
Yeah, that's
right.
It is.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Okay.
I think Enunwa actually should have it's still Seattle. I mean, and they're on the road. They don't play as well on the road.
Right.
I like Enunwa. I think Enunwa will be pretty good.
Okay.
I like him.
Game script for this game. Let's say Seattle gets up. Okay, and the Jets have to throw to come back, right? Are you listening?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was checking out the chat.
Okay. Is there anything interesting that we should bring up on the show?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to understand it. I don't know if I understand.
Okay. Anyways, Seattle gets up on the New York Jets.
Yep.
They have to throw to come back. We saw what happened when Ryan Fitzpatrick did that last week. 6 picks. Do the Jets get gun-shy against Seattle's Legion of Boom secondary?
No, you know, I mean, if they're at home and they're losing, they're going to throw. I mean, a team is never as bad as they looked the prior week. They're never as good as they looked the week before either. So I feel like Fitzpatrick will be all right. It's fine.
I agree with that. Now let's look at it sort of not the opposite way, but a totally different game script. Russell Wilson's banged up. Kristen Michael looks like the second coming of Walter Payton. What if Seattle pounds the rock to Michael, plays more of a conservative offense, tries to let their defense win, and the Jets do something similar with Matt Forte, knowing that Marshall is banged up, that Decker is out, that Anun was inexperienced, and that Fitzpatrick threw six picks last week. And now, all of a sudden, Quincy Anun was magical week, gets like six targets and three catches for 30 yards.
Yeah, that happens in football.
Yeah. So, but you're not very concerned with it, with that snappy retort.
I mean, it happens sometimes. I mean, this game could be 6-6 at half, 3-3 at half. I mean, stuff happens. What are you going to do?
Okay. So, Anunua.
You just can't say, I'm not going to play him.
Does Anunua finish among the top 25 receivers this week?
In that neighborhood. Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so he's a top 30 guy for you.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. So there you go. Anunua, interesting guy. Own him in one league. Not starting him. Blake Harrington. I have too many other good receivers.
Whatever. Even after losing Keenan Allen?
Yeah, that's how loaded that team is.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
So would you start – here's a starter sit for you, speaking of Kristen Michael.
Okay.
Kristen Michael or –
Kristen Michael at the New York Jets.
And then you have LeGarrette Blount.
Buffalo?
They're playing at home against Buffalo.
At home against Buffalo.
Matt Jones at home against Cleveland.
Okay.
Or you could bench Terrell Pryor if you wanted to.
I don't think I could bench Pryor.
Okay, so you leave Pryor in.
I know they play Washington. Keep where
it's
is
that? It's at Washington.
At Washington. Okay.
But he's hot, obviously.
Right.
So Matt Jones, LeGarrette Blount, Kristen Michael. Who do you bench?
Okay, to me, Matt Jones is the clear number three out of those guys.
For sure.
For sure. So it comes down to either Blount.
Well, that's it. I mean, that's it's.
Oh, you have to play two.
Yeah, so you start Blount and Michael.
Oh, Blount and Michael. Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, chat room can feel free to pipe in.
Yeah, pipe in on that one. I'm glad I didn't have to pick that. Aunt Jemima, bench Jones, Wayne Ellis likes. I think he's saying bench Blount. Jones at the bottom for Wasp guy.
So bench.
Aunt Jemima, agree with Balky.
All right, so bench Matt Jones.
All right, so there you go. Greetings, Mr. Pro Fleener and Mr. Grounded in Reality. I think we know who's
Fleener.
Who here. That's right. Balky had to be stoked about Fleener's Monday night performance. You're GD right, I was. But will he go back to his weeks 1-2 self with Snead expected to play against the less-than superchargers? That's Bobby in Cedar Bluff, Alabama. Thanks for the email, Bobby. Just to paint a picture of what happened Monday night. You and I watched the game sort of together. I was at sort of like the bar area watching the game on mute.
Oh, yeah.
And you and Premium User were actually watching the debate with the sound on a different screen.
To be fair.
Right.
It was myself, Premium User, Nick Matterfield.
Right.
And my daughter Olivia wearing the white Trump visor.
Right, yeah.
And she was yelling, "Build the wall." My older daughter Ellen wasn't a fan of the "build the wall" comment.
Just randomly yelling out the debate. Build the wall! Okay, so that's what happened. And I really wanted to gloat about Fleener just crushing it. And I couldn't because you guys were so engrossed in that debate that I couldn't. So, like, every so often I would be like, Fleener! You know, like, just – and it was a fantastic – it was a magical evening.
It was great. The great thing, too, about the night is I was having a few drinks. So, like, Trump was doing great the first half hour.
Right.
So I was enjoying it. And then I kept having, you know – and then he screwed up the rest of the debate. But, you know, as I had a couple more drinks.
Honestly, why he probably did that was because he was checking his phone at the podium and be like, man, I can't believe I'm going against Fleener this week. I thought for sure I had this game in the bag.
I'm sure.
And Fleener's just crushing it. Or maybe he's going against Fleener and Tevin Coleman. That would have been disastrous.
I paid lots of attention at the end.
So I will say this. I am nervous about the return of Willie Snead to the Saints and how it will affect Kobe Fleener. Drew Brees said a lot of good things after the game, that he's developing a rapport. They're sort of getting a feel for where each other is going to be on the field. You know, they're developing that connection. When Snead comes back, it could affect Fleener's targets, but they are going against San Diego this week. Maybe Fleener comes crashing a little bit further down to earth. but I don't think it's this week. I think he has another good week this week. I'm starting him again this week in the two leagues I have him in.
And you did, to be clear, you started him that
way. I started him last week because the other tight end I had was Antonio Gates, and it was a 14-teamer.
But that's pretty awesome. I mean, it's pretty, yeah, isn't it great where you're like, oh, desperation starting, and the dude goes crazy.
That
your
was
opponent
that,
must have been irate.
But, well, it wasn't an opponent. It was the Kentucky Auction, which is a total points league. And that actually, we had the high score of the week. And now we're Kurt and I are 6 points behind you
and
the real Leroy.
Leroy.
For fourth place in that league.
Like,
so we're
top six make the playoffs or something?
I might be top seven. I'm not sure because it's a 14-teamer. I'm not.
Plus it's feral rules, so they might be posted.
Who knows?
By week 13.
Yeah. So getting back to the whole Fleener situation.
Oh, wait, Farrell, listen. Sorry, Farrell, if you listen to the show.
You guys from Appleton are always giving me a hard time on this show. But we've already got those rules posted, gentlemen. You can go to the website right now, kffsc.com. Balky knows. Balky's there all the time. Anyway, so with Fleener, I believe he does have another good week this week. I still believe he's a top five tight end at the end of the season. I'm not backing off that.
You know, I disagree with you on that part of it. But, you know, since he had that big week, I mean, it's kind of like a little bit of proving. He proved himself to Breeze. You don't have to prove yourself to the coordinator or the coach or anything like that. You do a little bit. Prove yourself to Breeze. Prove you can do it. That's a big – it was a huge stepping stone for
him. Yeah, totally.
And actually, I'm a little bit kind of getting – following you a little bit here. I actually kind of think he might be okay.
Well, you don't have to patronize me on the show. You can do that when it's just me and you afterwards.
Trust me, I don't like to agree with you.
Believe me.
I don't know if anyone else...
Believe me. I know.
I just realized that.
So the other thing I want to bring up before we sign off tonight, and this will be on Fantasy Sports Radio Network tomorrow. Well, they're listening to it right now, so it's Saturday afternoon. Get those Jaguars and Colts either in or out of your FFPC and FPC lineups because they kick off at 9:30 Eastern time Sunday morning from London.
Yeah, Goodall's trying to realize a $1 billion valuation in London somehow and trying to get a move of franchise
right
there.
Yeah.
It's part of his overall dominate the world scheme.
Right.
He's a villain.
So it's very important that you guys, you know, whatever you're doing with those guys, make sure that if you plan on benching them, make sure they're – I would advise you to do this on Saturday so you don't – you're not feeling rushed on Sunday morning.
Check our Facebook – oh, forget it.
Yeah. Well, the FFPC's Facebook is still good, which, by the way,
don't
I know –
tell Facebook about
I,
that.
I know the Statue of David was posted on the FF – and, you know, honestly –
all the stuff on that page is worse than ours.
Totally. I mean, I'm just thinking about some of the stuff that's been posted on there.
We should report that to Facebook.
Like, we'll make a trade. Ban the FFPC Facebook page. Bring the HSFF Hour page back.
Ours is better.
Call it good. Anyway, so whoever you have in your starting lineup at 9:30, they're locked in there. You won't be able to bench them after that. Julius Thomas is a guy to keep your eye on. I know
he's
questionable.
A game-time decision. He's probably not going to play, right?
Well, I don't know. But the thing is, you don't want to start him and then wait till noon and then find out he didn't play. It's very important to get him out of there.
What a pisser.
I would, and honestly, I think that's your safer decision is get him out right now and then make the adjustment Sunday morning when you know more. Get up early. Have breakfast. Get some eggs. Watch the early game.
Eggs.
Or whatever people eat.
Eggo.
Bagels.
Lego Mayago.
Some lox. steak and eggs. Whatever it was.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's going to do it for our show, ladies and gentlemen. I want to thank Leo Bell. I want to thank the FFPC. I want to thank Dave Gerzak.
I'd like to thank Jim Bob Cooter.
I want to thank Jim Bob Cooter. And, of course, all the listeners. In fact, literally everybody who had anything to do with this show tonight, listening to it, promoting it, talking about it. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, except for one outlet. No thanks to Facebook.
You suck, Facebook.
You absolutely do for banning our page. So frustrating. So annoying. Can't even believe we have to deal with this 2016.
I don't care.
Anyway, thanks to everybody. We'll be back next Friday at 10-9 Central. Remember to get those Jags and Colts either started or sat before 9:30 on Sunday morning. Enjoy week 4. We're in week 4 already. It seemed like we're still in draft mode, but we're actually coming up on week 4. It's actually already started last night. Great game between the Dolphins and the who did they play last night? The Bengals. Entertaining game, not a great game. Your weekend starts.
This
now.
Has been another episode of the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour presented by MyFFPC.com that was broadcast live and heard around the world. Eric and Dave will be back next week with more analysis, interviews, and advice from a guest much smarter than they are. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk with you again next week.
I gotta go, cause I got me a drop top, and if I hit the switch, I can make the ass drop. Had to stop at a red light, looking in my mirror, not a jacker in sight, and everything is...
I wish there was a way that we could ban Facebook, you know?
Yeah.
Because they banned us.
Revenge ban.
Yeah. So, like, maybe when they reactivate the page, say, hey, totally sorry, confuse you with some hate speech mongers. You guys clearly aren't that. And we're like, you know what? We're good.
You know what I did, actually?
What?
I turned off all the credit cards on our ads.
Did you really?
Yep. Screw them.
Hit them where it hurts.
That's right.
The wallet.